You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast is live from Radio Row in Las Vegas.
Hello and welcome to Around the NFL presented by DraftKings. Yes, and Jason Zumwalt, he told you what you needed to know about the setting. Here we are in Las Vegas, Nevada at Mandalay Bay in the, what do they call it, the media center? No, this is the...
The epicenter.
The command center... Radio Row, whatever it is.
Convention Center, I
believe. Convention Center.
It's the center of it all.
Yeah. And a beautiful set provided to us by iHeart, the good people at iHeart. And we are thrilled to be here. Dan Hansis, Got Heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, and you heard her voice, Colleen Wolf.
Hey-oh.
And Colleen, can I just say, I am thrilled that you're here.
Me too.
I mean... I was worried. You went up yesterday with the Air Force Thunderbirds. These are the guys, these are the dudes that do the flyover before the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And you went up in there to grab some G's, to take some of the G power away from Triple G.
Uh-huh.
Did you go more than Triple G? That's
you don't
the
understand G power if you think that it's an inexhaustible resource. There's G's for everyone.
How many G's, Colleen, did you go?
I pulled 9 G's.
9 G's.
Nine G's.
Tripled your G output.
Oh, my God.
The
okay.
gauntlet's been thrown down.
This was the coolest experience of my entire life, and nothing will ever top it. So I Whoa. Don't know now where that leaves me mentally, but I'm still processing the whole thing, and it was the most amazing experience.
Wait, what does 9 G's mean?
Okay.
And are you worried that your husband, John Gonzalez, saw you say it was the best day of your life and thought, like, well,
accurate.
I've spent a lot of days with her, but this wasn't one of them.
No, John was so excited about it. I don't even know how to describe what yesterday was like. First of all, I had to do so many hours of, like, briefing and training. Like, as soon as I got there, they... were teaching me how to cut lines on a parachute. I had a pocket knife in my jumpsuit in case we Jeez. Had to eject. I had to do all sorts of like egress training, and they teach you how to breathe to handle the G's, because if you don't breathe through it, you'll pass out immediately.
Hmm.
So I had
wow.
I had a G suit on, which was really cool because it's like plugged into the plane, so it's automatic. It just starts compressing when you start pulling G's. And you have to, basically they were like, if you're going to pass out, if you're not breathing right, you lose your color vision first, and then you start to get the tunnel, and the tunnel will close in until you black out. And when we went up...
I've seen the Top Gun sequel. I'm aware of how it works.
Yeah. They're like, pull up, pull up. Yeah. I was watching that, and very closely. there was all sorts of like... codes that we had, like ease if I was feeling sick. There was a gang load in case there's a fire in the cockpit and you have to go full like oxygen. Bailout, bailout, bailout is eject.
Oh my God.
Egress, egress, egress. There's like a canopy thing that flies off. So we go up and he's like, okay, let's do a G warm up. So we're just gonna do like the human body, essentially, I learned this yesterday, can handle 4 to 5 G's. And then after that, you have to breathe through it. And so we did 5 G's and I lost my color vision. The tunnel started to close. Oh, and I was like, no, not on this first thing we're doing. And so I tried really hard and I like did the breathing and I was able to reverse the tunnel and come out of it. And I was fine. We did all sorts of tricks. They were doing spins, loops, barrel rolls. We were flying upside down.
Stop it.
Over like the snow-capped mountains. It was so cool. And then we did 9 G's and I feel like I've accomplished the most insane thing of my life from not passing out, not throwing up. And to make it all even crazier, my lucky number is 8 and I went up with Thunderbird 8. So it was 8 on the plane and his call sign was Triple.
How about that?
Triple G.
Little Triple G.
Like, this is so perfect. It was so fun.
Wait a minute. You at some point you lose color vision.
Yeah.
Are you seeing in black and white then? What is it? What does that even mean?
That's basically the oxygen is not the blood flow and the oxygen is not going to where
it's like
it
you're
needs
on
to
the
go.
Way to passing out essentially.
Exactly.
There.
So then once I was able to reverse the tunnel vision, then my color vision came back and it was fine. I was so disoriented after the flight, though. I did not expect it to be a full body workout. I was completely drenched in sweat. I am so sore today because you have to tense up your whole lower body and do all of these like breathing exercises. And when I woke up this morning, it felt like I had been on a week long bender where I only drank and did all sorts of drugs. And I felt, and mind you, I went to bed
so like a summer of Connie.
Maybe. Not even like that. I've never experienced. I was so hungover feeling this morning, and I was in bed last night at 8:45 and did not have one drink. And I still feel like a little off. I have my the oxygen since I had it up at 100%. They said for a couple days the oxygen will have to escape from my head, so I'll get crackling in my ears. So I'm doing a lot of snap, crackle, pop right now, and my head feels a little funny, but I made it, and I did it, and it was so cool.
Well, we're very proud of you.
Thank you.
I am.
And these are the guys that are going to be doing it before the game.
What, yeah.
Same guys.
Wow. Yes, these are the same pilots that are going to do the flyover, and they fly like 18 inches apart doing all of these tricks. And I was like,
give a couple more feet.
I don't understand how when you hit turbulence, how you guys aren't hitting each other when you're
why
that close.
Why is a wing not just being pulled right off the craft?
And it was so interesting because they said, because they are flying so close together, they all hit the turbulence at the same time. So they move together too.
Yeah, but like, what if that doesn't happen one day?
Yeah, just once.
I don't know.
Everyone's dead. Mark, how are you? And Colleen, that is, please don't do it again. It was very stressful hearing.
My dad was there. Yeah, he was in the Air Force.
Ed's here, and that's great. That is unbelievable.
I think I have to join the Air Force.
Mark, how are you, by the way?
I have about a fourth of my voice.
Yeah, what is going on? Now, you drove here.
Yes.
Oh. And immediately like, uh-oh, where's Mark going?
No, it's actually...
We got the text that you were in Barstow last night.
Well, Barstow is literally halfway between Los Angeles and Las Vegas, unless it is pouring rain from, like, the deep heavens and at one point snowing. Then it's, like, 3 hours and a half. But, like, got to a hotel, fell asleep within 5 minutes, woke up, came here. It was a very smooth trip. In fact, got here hours before the show, and not much else to report except drinking lots of tea.
That's good, and we got to get you through the next 4 episodes here from Las Vegas, of course, here for Super Bowl 58, Chiefs, 49ers. We're going to get into the game in a minute. I want to say for the listeners, this is a very special week. We're, like I said, we have this beautiful setup that iHeart has been kind enough to give us. I feel like we got some juice here.
Great looking set.
On the floor at Radio Row. We got
it's gorgeous.
Is this real marble? I mean, I'm impressed.
I saw Jerry Rice walk by just a few minutes ago, and he kind of looked up longingly at like, wow, my set's not that nice.
I had a great Jerry Rice moment on the set right next to us. I was speaking with our friend MJ Acosta, and MJ knows everybody. So Jerry rolls in with his contingency and says hi to MJ. They exchange pleasantries, know each other somehow. And and then he looks at me and he was like, am I supposed to know who this guy is?
Oh.
So he just stuck out his paw and we shook hands. And I was like, yeah. All right, Jerry. I interviewed you once in 2011 in Andy Fenelon's office.
Oh, and he remembered.
And he's like, oh, yeah, of course. No, he didn't remember it. Mark Sessler, because it's Super Bowl week, we are a show that's always innovating. It's how we win awards. It's we just did win an award. What award was it again, Greg?
It was the Sports Podcast Awards given out in the UK.
Yes, and what an incredible achievement by Around the NFL, and we were just nominated for the Best NFL Podcast and the iHeartMedia Awards, which I believe they'll be sending us
to the award show.
I haven't asked yet, but we'll see. The competition's pretty rough there.
It's the Best Sports Podcast.
Best Sports
Podcast. We're going up against Club Shay Shay.
They just did about 70 billion downloads
on the Cat Williams interview. The Travis Kelce Show.
Who's that?
New Heights.
Who's that?
Levitard's in there.
Levitard. Who's that guy? Oh, also... The Pro Football Talk commentator guy, pardon my take. Yeah. Of course.
Heavy hitters.
That's one where it feels okay that we're just kind of in the group. It feels good to be in the group.
It feels nice to be nominated. But the reason why we are nominated is because we continue to innovate. We always roll out different satellite programs. And we have a great one debuting today with Mark Sessler. You've won awards for This Guy Gets It. I mean, that we all know.
I don't like to talk about it, but there have been multiple awards.
You never
awards.
Bring it up, but we have another.
So humble.
Yeah, we have another offshoot that I think could be the Frasier to Cheers coming up in just a little bit. We're going to have some guests coming by, and it's going to be Mark's stage, and we're going to go into Mark's little world with two very special guests. Should I say who they are?
I mean, they'll see it on the podcast title.
Yeah, I think so.
Cleveland Browns.
Spoiler alert.
All pros. Stars, Myles Garrett, the presumptive or possible defensive player of the year. We'll find out on Thursday at NFL Honors. And star cornerback Denzel Ward. Sit down with Mark Sessler and Mark Sessler alone just in a couple minutes. Your thoughts, Mark?
I will say these Super Bowl weeks, like, things happen to you because everything's happening in a flurry and like a visual snowstorm. And then suddenly you're on a plane home. Like, having gotten here a couple hours ago and now this is happening. This plan was just hatched this morning, and there was some back and forth on how it should look, and I'm just praying it goes well, basically.
Yes,
that's how I am.
I feel the anxiety from hundreds of miles away over text, but it's going to be beautiful.
It's a little different than some people that you'd interview. I mean, even from like an NFL perspective, like Myles Garrett is a top five NFL star, and it's like I've created some questions that I don't know how they will go with these two figures. Okay. So
what have you scribbled your questions on over there?
Well, there have been some technical issues, so I put it on a little 1989 piece of paper from the Cosmopolitan Hotel. Yeah.
So that's coming up in just a little bit. But before we get to that, why don't we open up Super Bowl week here from Mandalay Bay with one big thought. And, listen, this is a huge... enormous stage for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I mean, think about this. I did some research on this. So the standard, of course, is Brady and Belichick, and they won six together. Paul Brown and Otto Graham won seven, but that's different. AAFL, 4-3 in the NFL with the Browns. Who are going to be on the show in just a bit, the faces of the Browns defense with Mark Sessler. Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr won five titles together, but some of that, of course, predates Super Bowl as well, the Super Bowl era, which started in 67, I believe. Chuck Knoll and Terry Bradshaw, they won four. Hallis and Sid Luckman won four for the Bears. Those are championships, but that's, again, pre-Super Bowl. So on the Super Bowl era, Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, they produced three. And Brady and Belichick, six. And I'm thinking about those two combos, and now it's Reed and Mahomes. And they have Mahomes has been in the league 7 years, and he's been the starter for 6 years. And they've been to six AFC title games. This is their fourth Super Bowl, and they're going for their third Super Bowl championship. And I can't – you just don't know. Greg, you're a Patriots historian of their big run. The gap between the last pre...
Their third and fourth titles.
Yes. How long was that?
10 years.
10 years. So the idea that we could just pencil in Mahomes and the Chiefs with Reed to get back next year or the year after. No. Over the course of a career, even Brady and Belichick, the standard bearers, they went a long gap before winning and starting that second run. So you got to make good while the good is there to be made. Winning this one, getting the third one in the bag with another 10 to 12 years of his career ahead of him, and who knows how long Reed is ready to go on, but he's not looking to retire based on what he's been saying this week. It's such an opportunity for them. They're already legends, but to enter that different stratosphere of all-time greats. And we're here for it, and we're kind of lucky because as difficult as it is for me to watch the Patriots up close the way we got to do in that second half of their run, to go from Brady to Mahomes, to see two of these legends, all-time greats, it's pretty cool.
I have tried to not take greatness for granted because, like a lot of people, I was disappointed the Chiefs made it to this point. I wanted fresh blood. I wanted it to be the Bills finally getting over the hump, or the Ravens and Lamar for the first time. That would be exciting. And as we've gotten closer to the Super Bowl, it's like, don't be bored with greatness. I think what you said was perfect because I think about Andy Reid a lot in terms of his trajectory. And when he was with the Eagles, I thought he was the best offensive coach in the league. As much as Kyle Shanahan, I think, in the last 10 years, I thought Andy Reid changed football. I thought he was a Hall of Famer before he won his first Super Bowl. He was that good a coach, but he couldn't quite get over the hump in terms of winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles. To see that guy paired with Mahomes, which there's no comparison for Mahomes. I mean, you're saying, okay, this puts him in a certain class. In a certain way, Mahomes is in his own class. There is no quarterback remotely similar in terms of their first six years.
First 6 years, yeah. I agree.
Just
with
in
that.
Terms yep. of the individual accolades, his individual excellence, just how great he is, and the team success. He is the greatest player in terms of his first 6 or 7 years. So for those two guys
entered
to come
lineup,
together,
his first year right. as a starter is a star. Like right. it was immediate.
He yeah. was he was the best player in the league.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Mark? Get us going with yours. One big thought.
It's on the other side. It's Kyle Shanahan. Because to me, he's the great what-if coach. He lost 28-3, biggest stage possible. We were just here a couple years ago in this same matchup. These two teams are quite different. And yet the Niners had a lead in that game and fell apart when it mattered most. And in general, this is someone that you could look at and say he could have 5 or 6 Super Bowls if things had gone differently. He's lost multiple NFC title games. And it's tough to get back, but he has brought this Niners team back years in a row. And yet this feels like a different team to me just because you're getting the quarterback play you wanted. No matter what you say about the Brock Purdy situation and experience, he's done fine by the Niners and done everything that a Kyle Shanahan quarterback be asked to do. But it is a top-heavy, weapons-rich offense that you don't know who to protect, who to stop. And I think this is Kyle Shanahan's chance. And it's like, I just feel if this doesn't happen for them, that the Kyle Shanahan legacy, you know, like Mike Shanahan went years until he finally won those two with Elway. Elway went, obviously, years losing multiple Super Bowls before winning two. And neither one, Elway retires, but Mike Shanahan never got back to those heights ever again. That's your lesson from your own father, that even if you get there and you win, two might be the crown. One might be the crown. And to lose a third Super Bowl, one as an offensive coordinator, this weekend would just be crushing. I think it just takes so much resilience from not just him, but everyone else to get back. And there is a fair amount of weight, I think, on certain Niners players that were here last time that feel that. Where the Chiefs, to me, it's not house money for everything you just said. It matters so much. And it's like, I just watching a little bit of like opening night, media night, that like the Chiefs feel kind of loose to me. Not that the Niners feel butt tight, but the Chiefs just feel kind of like they've been here and loose.
Gross.
And I just wonder if it gets into one of these key fourth quarter situations, like which team do you trust to pull it out? Shanahan, I do think one thing. After what happened last week in the NFC title game, defense fell apart in the first half. You're down by a ton. That was a different type of win for the Niners. I'm kind of glad that happened for them. It was instructive.
Colleen, your big thought.
Okay, my one big thought is also about one of the coaches involved in this game, but I'm going to go with Steve Wilks.
Wilks
because
mom.
I think that his performance in this game and the way that this game goes could really change his trajectory in the NFL because everyone is talking about Spags in this game. Everyone's talking about Shanahan and Andy Reid, but Steve Wilks against Andy Reid, like think about all of the Niners DCs that have gotten head coaching jobs in the NFL. Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryans. if he has a big performance against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on the biggest of all stages, he's going to set himself up for a potential head coaching job in the future. Mm.
Big, yeah. Big one. And that's been cottage industry, D.C., for the Niners to get a gig. And it hasn't been always a smooth ride this season for them, but we'll see. Greg, close it out. One big thought.
My big thought is more about where we are right now. To just, like, take a moment and realize we got C.J. Stroud standing over here in the Las Vegas.
Go get him, Mark.
Like, in Mandalay Bay. And it all seems normal now. And this show is presented by DraftKings. And we've gotten used to that over the last couple of years. But it's freaking crazy. 5 years ago, 7 years ago now, 2017, Roger Goodell is quoted saying, "We're not changing our position as it relates to sports gambling. We don't think it's a positive thing." Like 10 plus years ago, and he was asked about that this week, he says, "I think it's bad for the sport," because he was worried about how people would question the integrity of the game and as it relates to gambling. And I don't think that's really happened. We're hearing all the jokes about the scripts and stuff like that, but I don't think it's really related to gambling. But it's just a totally different world, and I don't know exactly how it's going to go. But the fact that the NFL has completely embraced Vegas to the point where they sort of fast-forwarded that giving them a Super Bowl, they had to prepare for the Super Bowl because New Orleans backed out faster than any city ever has, like less than 2 years. And we're here, and there's NFL slot machines, and there's everything. It's just freaking crazy because at one point I was like a 17-year-old kid whose two favorite things in the world were weed and sports gambling. And I would have never imagined a world. One has changed quite a bit because of our employment. Like I would have never
420, bro.
I would have never
So you're still a heavy drug user.
No, okay. Actually that's died down relatively, but it's still a beautiful thing. Like
we should really dive into that.
But the fact that we're living in this world where both of those things are legal and they're encouraged, that they are funding a lot of what's going on here. And I think we're in this weird sort of in between. There's been a lot of laws in the UK that have kind of pulled back some of it's been an industry that's been regulated a lot more. And right now we're just kind of in the Wild West where like anything goes. And I think we'll look back at this time as like, wow, that was kind of crazy, everything that happened back then.
We understand why this has been a remarkable development for you and all of us.
No doubt. Although I did stop, gambling well before I came to this this place in the NFL.
All right, we got it, Greg. You're safe.
It was too stressful.
I just looked over my right shoulder and a enormous superstar for a certain team out of Cleveland is ready to join us. So we're going to take a break. And when we return,
Sessler's
face. It is the debut.
Now I'm watching him too. Over
the latest spinoff of the Around the NFL universe. Mark Sessler, lead the way, our friend, and then we'll be back on the other side of it.
We shall do it.
All right. Be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for a trip to Mark's Man Cave, brought to you by Devin McGregor.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Man Cave. Two very special guests today. We have got two actually huge NFL stars from the same team, teammates, Myles Garrett, possible defensive player of the year. We'll find out this week. Pro Bowler, Pro Bowl cornerback Denzel Ward. Incredible season this year, the guys. I want to just ask quickly, like, the immense change between last year's Browns defense and what happened this year under Jim Schwartz. You know, that's why he's up for potential assistant coach of the year, why you guys are up for all these awards. What was the difference? Like, how did, with so many of the same players, how did it shift so quickly?
Man, it's so much I could say. So much I could say about Coach Schwartz. I think just his attention to detail was a key difference. Just being in the meeting rooms and him being able to coach us all and take us through what's all expected of all of us. And just the energy out the field. I mean, you've seen us out there having all these handshakes and celebrating everything. I feel that stuff played a huge part in our success this year. And he was one of the key reasons as to why that was.
How about you?
I mean, one of the main things is, you know, he always preaches about, you know, celebrating with your teammates, you know, swaggery and badassery, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, keeping that attention to detail, you know, off of what he said before. You know, we were, you know, always in the meeting room. He always led, you know, the meetings, you know, himself. You know, he always went through each position, you know, detailing what each guy's going to do. And, you know, it might have been, you know, down to nitty-gritty with our own position coaches. But, you know, he was always in everything that we did, making sure that it was just how he wanted it. But that energy that you see on the field, it's also, you know, coupled with the energy that he has every day, that passion that he shows every day. And that kind of stuff is contagious.
When you hit the league, it was popular to talk about the fact that you were a poet off the field, that you practiced poetry, that words matter to you. Could you give me a few words to describe your teammate, Denzel Ward?
A few words? Lockdown.
Respect.
Relentless.
I like that. How about in reverse? I'm not suggesting that you write poetry off the field,
right.
But you could just use the same exercise.
Yeah, definitely. I'll say Miles is an electrifying is one of the key words that pops out when I think of Myles Garrett. Electrifying and dominant.
I like that. You know, so one of the reasons that we've got a number of people on the show, but I have been a Browns fan going back to 1986. So, you know, the Marty Schottenheimers, the Bernie Kosars, the Frank Minifields, Hanford Dixons, Clay Matthews of the world. This defense was different to me. There was a bit of a controversy, I thought, early on in the year when they put Brownie the Elf back at midfield. And there was, I don't know why people had such a reaction. I think it's historical. It goes back to the earliest Browns teams. I would ask you personally, though, and I'll start with you, Miles, like, elves in general, do you believe that at some point on this earth, like, a mythical creature like an elf actually existed, or does that not sit well with you?
Do I believe that? I haven't seen it, so I can't particularly say that I believe too strongly in it. But, you know, maybe I just need someone to make me a believer.
All right. Elves, your take.
See, so I'll ask, what exactly is a elf?
Well, I mean, you're looking at one at the 50-yard line during each of these games. But it is typically, you know, a being that I believe uses invisibility, is good with a bow and arrow, existed in, you know, in the woods typically.
Mm-hmm. So is that a wood elf? Are we talking high elf, dark elf?
I think that it runs the whole gamut. I mean, if you get into, I'm sort of an out fringe elf individual, but like the fact that I think some people thought it doesn't represent a tough, you know, football player, well, there's a lot of things happening with elves that could cause a problem for the Ravens or Steelers, I think, depending on some of their powers.
Right.
So we'll leave it out. We'll leave that right there at that. So I've had a question always about, like, when I, you can tell that I probably played football at one point in my life way back when, but we would have these pregame meals where like some dad on a grill would create like immense amount of food, and we go out and we all just pig out, and then 40 minutes later you're out getting your butt kicked by Wilton High School because you just want to be taking a nap at that point. Like, what do you each eat and ingest from the morning you wake up until like the 1 p.m. kickoff? What goes into your body?
A smoothie. Smoothie and water.
You keep it light.
Smoothie, water, Gator Light.
Yeah, similar. I'm not a big eater come game day. I'm drinking a smoothie, probably eat some fruit, banana, and that's about it. I don't eat nothing too big.
No, I like that. So you're here for Bounty. Love Bounty, good product. It's helped me in my house often. Blake, how about for you? Has there been a situation, I don't know, maybe some sort of major fiasco in your own household or life where Bounty has saved the day for you?
I mean, I got dogs, man. There's all kind of fiascos happening, so, yeah. So Bounty's come to save the day multiple times.
Okay, so you use the product that you're pitching. I like that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah. I have parties all the time with my family and everything, so there's always a mess being made come party time, so Bounty definitely saves the day when using that.
Okay, just a couple more. Denzel, for you, do you believe that Steelers fans have ever read a book?
Do I believe Steelers fans ever read a book? Yeah, I'm sure they read a book here and there. You know,
that sounds about right.
At some point, yeah.
Sounds about right. Last one for both of you. You know, I think this was one of the most surprising seasons, and it's the Joe Flacco of it all. It's you playing your best football of all time, the teammate in general. I mean, just the way that the Browns came together, I think for Browns fans, it's unusual. They've been through a lot of ups and downs. Kevin Stefanski, Coach of the Year candidate. It was really joyful to watch down the stretch. But then it ends the way it does, and obviously I would just... What is your goal? Where do you want to be a year from now when we're sitting here at Super Bowl week? What are the Cleveland Browns saying to their fans at that point?
You'll be talking about us on the radio, and you won't be able to have us sitting here, and we'll be preparing for a game.
No more Elvin conversations a year from now.
Well, maybe the, post-game. Right. We're talking, we have a trophy in our hands or maybe a bottle or something. We're celebrating a win.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's the ultimate goal. Is to get to where the Chiefs and the 49ers are playing right now. So that's where we're going to work hard to do this offseason and come back better than last year.
All right, good luck. Thanks for stopping by, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a trip to Mark's Man Cave, brought to you by Devlin McGregor.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Oh, man. Cess Dog, the premiere
of Mark's Man Cave. And I got to say, Mark, I bet you're feeling great now because you got that off the plate.
Yeah, I hope the people are still listening. Again, it's like you, when you're dealing with like 60% of your voice, and they didn't want to wear like cans, headphones. So like,
right.
I was, you know, it was a
you
bit
had
of
to amplify a little
stage
bit
moment. You're suddenly on stage.
But it was an interesting experience for us,
right.
Because we're watching our own show for the first time, and we couldn't hear what you were saying. So we'll be listening like the fans. By the way, because I know Greg and Colleen haven't heard it, we're always looking to monetize the show, and build the empire. This is the name of the program that everyone just heard.
Now it's time for a trip to Mark's Man Cave, brought to you by Devin McGregor.
And Devin McGregor is a placeholder. We're looking for sponsors, and I thought Man Cave, Mark, is perfect. Because on the heels and the momentum of your DiGiorno's ads really pushing your everyman appeal out there a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so.
The idea of people coming down into your cave, it's just an extension of that brand that we're building. So anybody, including, I'm just going to say DiGiorno's. Like, if you want to extend the brand connection with the Cessdog, Man Cave is open for business. Devlin McGregor, just a placeholder.
Yeah, I don't know what the hesitation is on the part of that one particular pizza vendor. I continue to have hope that they'll perform and come out of the shadows. They did tweet at me.
They did.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's big.
That's a start.
Yeah.
You could lead a DiGiorno's to water.
Right.
But can you make a drink? We're going to find out.
That's true.
We've done this show for 10 years and it's been great making podcasts. We're podcasters. The next 10 years, influencers.
Ooh,
that's really
where the guap is.
That's really
time to level up, guys.
That's what we're happening.
That's where the guap is.
You need the perfect setting, the perfect squad, the perfect eats, and the perfect plan to keep everyone pumped all night long.
I feel like I'm punishing someone.
Or else.
Well, actually, can I say, I did.
Like Gail Godot, like having to eat that pizza all of a sudden.
We're not going to play it back because I don't want to make light of it because it's an important cause. But the latest ad read that's out there about the getting professional help. Yeah. Very different tone, respectful and somber.
Well, yeah, I received some coaching before I recorded that, and I tried to pay attention.
Connie,
hey,
where's your headspace at? Where's the oxygen levels? And
my head is in the clouds still, guys.
If things went sideways, I did prepare something.
Oh my God.
For this show.
Okay, is it a eulogy?
Colleen was an amazing woman, funny, kind, vivacious, and that laugh. Oh, that laugh.
Mm-hmm.
A wild Irish rose she was, bringing serenity and warmth to this crazy garden we call life. And then we just all start to share memories of you, but don't need it, so we're good.
That's so nice of you to think ahead and plan that way. Thank you for thinking of my death.
I mean, you're going up in a jet.
Yeah.
With the jets, how close are they? 18 inches?
Well, that's when they're flying with
the planes.
Can we
calm down? Can we make it 18 yards next time?
18 inches.
There was just one up there, right? You weren't flying.
No, it was just one. It was just me and Triple up there. So.
By the way, these guys, I saw, maybe it was the man that you were up there
with. Triple was here. He just texted me, but they just left.
This guy.
Triple.
Triple. By the way, a lot of people coming for your Triple, your G's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to
ignore this. Nicknames.
Like, Colleen literally tripled your G's. Like, she tripled Triple G. Let's talk about brand invasion.
I'm taking this as like an opening serve, essentially, and I will return fire at some point.
But this guy that you went up in the air with, whether if it's him, I don't know, but right out of Central Casting. Like,
you guys have no idea. Like everyone that is part of the Thunderbirds, they are all like,
yummy.
I don't know what the interview
babes.
Process is, but it was like a bunch of Ken dolls and all of the girls are gorgeous. Everyone is a fighter pilot or a fighter pilot adjacent. And I truly think I might have to join the Air Force, but I think my window has passed at this point.
Mm. So Top Gun is real.
It really is, truly. I mean, you guys should have met Fire.
That.
If you guys would really have liked him.
Really?
Yeah.
How many women Thunderbirds are there?
There's a few. Really? But also each jet has its own mechanic and has its own like sort of team. And so it's
are they
like
hot mechanics.
Everyone's good looking. Everyone is really good looking. What an experience!
The janitorial
this was.
Service just a bunch of nines and tens.
And they're all cool, and they all get along with each other. Like the vibes were honestly so good there.
Mm. Well, don't you know, Colleen? Don't judge a book by a cover. There could be something going on underneath the fingernails.
Well,
right?
I think that you could find out what it was. You should go over there next.
I'm gonna bring down the Thunderbirds.
You know
just
who?
Take them down a peg.
You know who's going up today with them? Matt Ryan.
Wow. Oh, if Matt Ryan passes out,
and,
too many G's.
Well, so they were explaining to me why, as I had mentioned, that women are more like physiologically capable
right.
of handling the G's. It's because, and I didn't realize this, shorter people are better handlers of the G's because of like the blood flow. So it is, I'm a little nervous for Matt Ryan.
He's 6'5", 6'6".
So you're saying
it's in a tough spot.
I could be an absolutely superior D-force inhaler.
10 Gs.
10 Gs is the only way to beat Connie. Double digit the
yeah.
Gs.
I wanted to hit like one of the mocks.
This has been a great week for the small man. I mean, Mike Vrabel can't get a job because he's so big and athletic and strong. They're just passing out jobs to 5'5", 140-pound guys.
Let's a moment here at Super Bowl week from Las Vegas. All right, let's do some news, get caught up on what's going on around this big game.
Hey, I'm here all day. You walk with the wrong.
What?
You walk with the wrong.
All right, look.
You walk with the wrong. You walk with the wrong. You walk with the wrong.
See, it's important to remember because he's mild mannered, right? Patrick Mahomes. But he's got that dog in him. That was from the quarterback series on Netflix when he was going toe to toe with Max Crosby. It's one of the best rivalries in the league. Crosby. And Mahomes get after it twice a year. And
saw Crosby right in the corner when I walked
in. Oh.
And, yeah, like Mahomes, part of, Mark, what has made this guy who he is, like, you do not F with this guy. And we collectively as a people doubted him this year. And I know it's not just him, but the way he's locked in and leveled up, and we're going to do our Super Bowl picks at the end of the week, it's just like, could you possibly pick against Mahomes and feel good about it? I don't know. I don't think I can.
I feel like if you pick against him, if you pick with Mahomes, I should say, and that they lose, you can't walk around the streets beating yourself up about it because there's no way that wasn't a logical move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason we haven't seen so much like wildfire and anger and venom out of him is because things have been pretty good. It's like this.
Unless Kadarius Toney's dropping balls.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was instructive. It's like he will get on his teammates. He will go crazy. He will show his emotions. He's got all that. I think he's able to keep it under the cuff a little bit more than others. But the Chiefs in general, outside of like, you know, Kelsey taking, Justin Tucker's helmet and whipping it into the back of the end zone, like they're able to like in the big moments, not lose their cool for the most part.
And it's interesting, the Chiefs, like you have to draw the parallel, the last dynasty to this team, which I think absolutely if they win, you can't deny it's a dynasty of the Chiefs. You could already call it that considering the success they've had. But
I think getting that third is a big deal. I think they're the first team, the only team in history that's ever made 4 Super Bowls in 5 years other than the Patriots.
Wow.
In the salary cap era, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the Patriots are easy to root against. There were elements around that team, including some controversies they were in, and then just how often they were in the picture. People just got sick of them. The Chiefs, not always that case, but it's starting to happen now where people are turning on the Chiefs. They got booed loudly when they entered at the opening night of festivities on Monday as they took the, you know, they emerged. And Mahomes was asked about that, how things have kind of changed and how they're seen. And I really think, like, and this is some toxicity, we don't need this, but I really think the Taylor Swift pushback has been born, that's come down and worked against the Chiefs as well, because she's obviously connected and aligned with them, and bros are tacky.
But also, the booing from opening night was a little misleading, because the Chiefs fans were there first for the Chiefs podiums, and then they sort of cleared out, and then they had the joint appearance, the Niners and the Chiefs. So then the Niners fans came in, and it was mostly Niners fans that were left. So on the broadcast, it sounded like it was just all boos, but it was also a little bit of the timing
and the
run of show.
And also, you're driving, you're taking like the drive from the airport to where you're staying in Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders you know, Death Star has a gigantic Chiefs helm on it. So, like, some of the overflow of people that were just here as Raiders fans mm-hmm. were also like, I think which team I'm going to be booing will be the Kansas right. City Chiefs. Not a big problem there.
So, but let's keep the storyline intact. I'm going to wipe all okay. that from the show. Here's Patrick Mahomes on being the villain.
Not necessarily. I think I just like winning. If you win a lot and that causes you to be a villain, then I'm okay with it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to enjoy playing the game and try to win as much as possible.
So, you know, he knows what to say. Not much there. Your boy, Mark, Brock Purdy, meanwhile, he's on the other side of this. And everyone is talking about Brock. And what is he? Where does he fit in on this Niners team? How should he be celebrated? It's been, quite frankly, it's become an exhaustive storyline at this point, including, oh, that guy's just a game manager. Here's Purdy on being called a game manager.
Like, I feel like it can be a compliment at times where it's like, all right, you got a guy that can come in and run the system well. I feel like that's a compliment. I think that's, you know, you're doing things right mentally, and obviously you're good enough to be able to hit guys that are open and make plays.
So, Mark, like, yes, but also the pejorative nature of it is this guy isn't a playmaker. He can't do it on his own. But he might be hoisting a trophy in a few days and nobody would care what you call him. He would be a champion.
I mean, he's refusing to, in a way, look at the definition the way that it's been for 20-plus years. And I more agree with Baldy that he's a silent assassin. He fits beautifully into that attack. And, like, I feel like I've talked about Brock Purdy from my point of view so often. It's like I couldn't support him more. I don't know what you need a quarterback to do in today's NFL in an offense like this. It's not because of the offense. Like, Purdy does so much well, and we can't reconcile the fact that he wasn't, like, a first-round draft pick. I think people are still struggling with that he's come out of nowhere and that no one recognized who he was before the draft, too. I think a lot of people have some weight over around the fact that Purdy's blown all these expectations and been a complete surprise.
But he's not a game manager. He is the furthest thing from a game manager. The funny thing is, if you look at the stats from this year, Patrick Mahomes would be the ultimate game manager. Like, no one throws the ball shorter depth of target than Patrick Mahomes. He's not taking any chances. He hasn't thrown an interception in 6 playoff games, which is outrageous. No one's even gotten close to an interception on him this year. Like, he is doing exactly what needs to be done. Brock Purdy's the opposite. People that are calling him a game manager aren't watching these games. Like, he's been a little up and down in the playoffs. Certainly the first half of that Packers game wasn't good, or parts of that Packers game. But he takes chances. I looked this up this week because I had a feeling. On PFF, they have big-time throws, big-time throw rate. 4 quarterbacks in the NFL are in the top 8 of big-time throw rate and turnover-worthy play rate. Wouldn't that be, like, the opposite of a game manager? So
right.
Brock Purdy, I thought, was exceptional in terms of the good throws he made in the NFC Championship. Rewatching that, I was really impressed of how many low-percentage plays he made. So he's one of the 4 quarterbacks that are in the top 8 in big-time throws and in the top 8 of turnover-worthy plays. He is a risk-taker. I don't think you can take that out of him. He's not really a game manager. The other guys on that list are like Stafford, Trevor Lawrence was on the list, and Geno. It's a kind of a weird list, but it does make sense to me. It's guys who are going to take some chances, and it's not always going to work out, but they're kind of fun to watch. And Flacco was way above the rest of them if he qualified.
Baldy talked about that, too. He said that the nature of the Niners' offense is to attack in the middle of the field, and to do that, you're thrown into traffic. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, part of that is built into what his skill set. He's not known for having a cannon of an arm, so he can't maybe hit some of the throws that Stafford can hit, so they attack in a different way. I you're not going to hear me going into this week going after Purdy too hard, because I really thought the way he responded when the house was on fire in the NFC title game kind of told me what I needed to know, that he is a silent assassin. Like, he's not going to shrink in this moment. He might make mistakes, but he's not going to collapse.
How about, just look at his yards per attempt this season, 9.6. That was the best in the entire league. He was the most efficient quarterback. He was top 5 in yards and touchdowns and passer rating. How can you call him a game manager? But I guess at the same time, it's like, it's almost like X Factor. Everyone has a different definition for these things, and it feels like it's sometimes fluid, because you could make the case that every single quarterback who has ever played the game is in some way, shape, or form a game manager.
Sure, that's kind of the job.
Where is he? Where is he in relation? This is an off-season conversation, but in relation to the Dalton line.
It's funny you say
who,
that.
Brock Purdy?
Yeah. Like, I think he's in front of it, but how comfortably?
Yeah. Miles.
Like,
yes. Yeah.
So he's way in front of it, and that's why
I'm saying I agree he is, but is he
Is he like a top 10 quarterback? Is he top 12? Like,
I think right now, to me, he would be, it's tough to remove him from the system, but he'd be somewhere in that 8 to 12 range for me, where if you were starting a team, you would go with about eight or nine guys first, and then he's somewhere in that mix of 8 to 10, which is exceptional for any second-year quarterback. Imagine if Justin Fields was a top 10 quarterback in his second year. I mean, like, it's exceptional, and it's okay, 49ers fans. Like, it's okay that he's not a top 5 quarterback.
Right. What would he need to do to change your opinion, to get him into the conversation of, like, a top 5 quarterback? What would he need?
Top 5?
Top 10 quarterback.
Maybe we would just need to see more, you know, see him in a different offense, see him evolve as a pro. Longer. Yeah, I don't know. He is gifted by obviously great
tools. I think
cut
down on the mistakes. I mean, he's like the turnover-worthy play thing I was talking about. It's a reason why you wouldn't put some of the other people that I mentioned. It was Geno. Who was it? Stafford you would put in there. Like he takes too many chances now, and I think he'll pull that back while still having the playmaker.
Right,
at some
and I think
point.
Like to Dan's point though, he bounces back from that. I think he's very mentally tough. Like there's something about him that with the way his teammates talk about him. But for me, like seeing him in a different offense, and I get where you're coming from, Dan, but like half the league is Shanahan offenses now. It's like he's got. It's not.
I don't mean just
it's
the
not
scheme.
Shanahan,
I mean
but,
the players around.
Sure,
he has potentially.
But he also
like
has made every
Hall
one of those.
Famers.
He's made every one of those players extremely effective, and some of them, like Brandon Ayuk, has had a star season with him at quarterback.
It's
like
what, it's
he adds to the game of the people.
It's
around
one
him.
Of the most age old conversations around this time of year. Like at one point, people kind of thought Joe Montana was a game manager, was a system quarterback. Who should really get the credit, Bill Walsh or Joe Montana? Because at that point, he had already gone through and had success with all these other guys. And that's like football. It's like you can't really separate it. And the beauty is, like, they're only great together. And there's no question to me this is the best 49ers offense we've ever seen. Like, it's not even close.
One of the things that, like, Jordan Love's a great example. I would have him probably ahead of Purdy right now.
Mm.
And part of that is because not that he doesn't; those guys around Green Bay aren't talented. The young players around him, the pass catchers, but I think he made them better. And is Purdy making this core better, or is he just fit in nicely as a piece that is making the most of them? You know, I think Love is making that surrounding cast better. I think Stroud did the same thing as Purdy.
He's
that
right
guy
behind
too.
You right now, Stroud.
Is he?
Oh yeah,
literally.
That's
so crazy.
You gotta watch that.
Very strange in my
Let's let's move on. Hey, this is always on my radar a little bit, just because how much things have changed in our world. Like 20 years ago, you know, you were playing the Super Bowl on like green concrete, and everything was always terrible. And now every year, teams are complaining about the turf is bad here, the grass is too slippery here, this and that. So Kansas City is training at the Raiders facility.
Yeah.
And they are singing just hosannas about it. Hosanna. Like, they're going nuts.
Fantastic.
Because it's great. We love it here. What a great team. What a great facility. Blah, blah, blah. So the NFC team is at UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not happy with it. In fact, the union director, do we know who the executive director of the players union is now? It's important because it's no longer D. Smith. Greg?
I mean, usually
Greg?
I have a computer in front of me. I took the computer away when Mark did his thing, and I forgot to bring it back.
Well, I was curious if you knew it.
No,
Lloyd Howell. Anyway, he said today.
D. Smith liked to get into the news, too.
He did.
Lloyd Howell, maybe not so much.
Well, wait till the next labor negotiation. He'll be in a plenty. But the UNLV practice field, quote, really isn't up to snuff for what our players deserve. So I just wanted to mention that they're unhappy with where they're practicing, and the Chiefs are loving it. But I guess if it was the other way around and they were in the AFC, they'd be at the state-of-the-art facility. But that's just how life goes. Deal with it.
Yeah, but something seems like you could have months ago realized that might cause some problems.
Truth.
It's a little bit of a knock on Vegas as a Super Bowl city that they don't have two high-quality facilities.
I think they just put that sod down. Like,
right.
Sod
the NFL, though, to make sure that facility is
that's the thing,
ready,
right? Like, this there's a lead-up to this. We didn't just announce the city.
Right, but you can't just, like, create out of thin air, like, you know, a football facility. So I guess UNLV was the best they could do, and next time around, hopefully, better. It's a good point.
In other news, Greg, you mentioned it, and your one big thought that got us going, how the NFL is you know, for years was like, stay away gambling, stay away. And now we are fully in bed. I mean, we are presented by DraftKings today,
right,
for an example. We also, by the way, just so people know the rules, so all of the NFL employees did get a sternly worded email from Rog himself about, hey, you're in Vegas to work, you're not allowed to gamble, obviously you can't go in the sports books, you have to avoid all those things.
But no slot machine, no nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You can't go on
the
casino floor.
Don't even look at them.
I'm glad I did not read that email, so I'm glad that you apprised me of that. Like, I didn't know that part about the slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a slot machine guy?
No. I mean, actually, it was,
I thought,
like,
you need, like, an oxygen tank.
You know, I feel like when you walk through a casino and I'm just, like, the noise of it, it's like a Dave on Buster's on LSD. It's like I need to be shotgunned
again. We are the same in this. Like, it's just overstimulating to walk through a casino. The colors, the noises, the people, it's a lot.
Sorry, Greg.
You would imagine. Jackpot,
Greg, baby!
Once again. You would imagine that both these teams, and there have been stories, you know, go look up the name Barrett Robbins is an example. There are stories of players that go crazy Super Bowl week, get themselves in trouble. I think, where did Barrett Robbins go? I think he went to Mexico.
Yes, I think it was Tijuana or parts close.
I think he was the starting center of the Raiders.
Right.
It's a wild story.
Waxed the next day by the Bucks. So
they sure did.
But there was the Falcons. You know, Walter Payton, Man of the Year.
Eugene Robinson. That was a toughie, dude.
Yikes. Caught with a hooker that week.
That's a lady of the night, Greg.
85 Patriots had some issues before they were destroyed by the Bears.
What a hooker.
That's why they lost.
So strong.
Yes. No, it's not.
Hooker. It's a word. Is it? I don't know.
Don't look at me.
Anyway, Reed, the coaches, Reed and Shanahan, and league representatives, as soon as they touch down in Vegas, they're talking to the players about, here, you got to know what you can and cannot do. Here's what Reed said this week. We had the league security rep come in and talk to the guys right when we got here. I mean, literally when we got here. And that was part of the conversation, was gambling. He made it very clear, restating the rules and regulations and temptations here, obviously in Las Vegas. So that was addressed. Oh, man, I got a feeling. I don't want to put a sandwich on it, and we'll do our Super Bowl sandwich props later. We're going to get a story out of this week. It might come off this day. So I don't know, but someone is going to be a storyline about
some malfeasance. You going to put a sandwich on it?
I'm not ready to do that, because it's probably not going to be good, so I don't want to root for bad news for somebody, but
that's Mark's thing.
Something.
Well, maybe it won't be a bad story that comes out. There will be a story.
Well, like what would be a good story?
Well, there's always some
there's
crazy
always
things
like
to
the
happen.
guy put a like 7-team parlay, you know, where he put like $20 up and won like $1 million. There's those sort of stories.
Like
those are happy
Pacheco
stories, I guess.
Good news is not typically news.
If it bleeds, it leads. Am I right?
Yeah, they got the chart back in the old day.
Journalism degree,
you know.
So that's, I could say that. Eric Bieniemy, former OC of the Chiefs. He's got rings with this team. And he left KC and became the offensive coordinator of the Commanders this year, but he got fired over there, so now he's looking for work. Guess what? Andy Reid said Wednesday in his press conference that Eric Bieniemy spent time with the Chiefs before the AFC Championship game. He talked with the offensive guys and hung out with us in our meetings. He's still up for a couple of jobs. He couldn't really answer if Bieniemy would be part of their staff next season, I guess, if he doesn't get a job. But I feel like should that be allowed? Like, you get another coach now on your team, and it's a guy that, you know.
It's happened before. Fangio with the Eagles as a recent example. It is a weird little netherworld loophole that could happen. But ultimately, he's just helping out the team he already worked with. I'm sure he's getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Little consultant.
Bieniemy was with the Chiefs from 2013 to 2022. He was the OC from 18 to last.
I thought it was interesting how Reed answered one part of the question, was that they asked would he be there next year potentially, just like if all this could shake out. He's like, well, they're in space for him right now. I mean, you can create space for anyone if you want.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it would be intriguing to see him come back. But there are a couple people on that staff I think maybe Reed would rather have Bieniemy over.
It's like the Patriots, you know, they hired Van Pelt. They hired our old friend, why am I blanking? McAdoo, you know?
They consulted with Chip Kelly.
Greggy,
like, we couldn't get Bieniemy in there for an interview?
Some of these Pats hires, I mean, I don't know, man. And that's coming from a Jets fan. My coaching staff has Nate Hackett on it still, but you got Ben in the building.
That's what I'm saying. Nathaniel Hackett.
You couldn't bring...
it's nice to see you out here.
It's good news for the Bills, put it that way.
Felt like Bienemy would have been a little different. Would have been different.
Maybe a little bit different. Hey, by the way, finally we have a quarterback from the vaunted QB class of 2018 in a Super Bowl. We haven't talked about this yet. It's Sam Darnold. Here's a quote from Darnold, by the way. He was approached media night. I always envisioned going deep in the playoffs with New York and being able to make a run at the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's what you dream of as a kid. Right when I got drafted by the Jets, and still to this day, it's my goal to be able to bring a championship somewhere. And now he has that opportunity as a backup for the Niners. But I just want to put it out there. Sam got there first, 2018 draft class. Who we got? Baker. We got Josh Allen. We got Lamar. We got Josh Rosen. But only one man got there first, Mark. Sam Darnold.
This is the most awkward axe to grind that of your many awkward axes.
It's interesting that Darnold didn't dream of getting there with the Panthers. He knew that was a failed operation. Look, Sam Darnold, he's a backup quarterback. Who knows? We might see him in this game, like we saw in the NFC Championship game last year for Brock Purdy leaving. But he should wear that Super Bowl ring proudly. Once I saw Colleen Wolfe introduce Maurice Jones-Drew on our network as Super Bowl champion Maurice Jones-Drew, and he holds up the ring, and they offer the viewer no context that MJD got it as the broadcaster for the Rams. I was like, Sam Darnold deserves this.
I never introduce any of our analysts who have won a Super Bowl as Super Bowl winning, except MJD, because fans get so upset about it.
That is amazing.
Right, so you were trolling.
That's like more of an inside troll job.
I know, but he holds it up, and you guys didn't explain it at all. He just holds it up.
You know those viral videos of the guy that destroys his TV when a sports team loses? That was Greg after you didn't provide the context.
It's my favorite thing to do.
It did make me laugh and troll me.
I know you're calling it an awkward axe to grind. These are facts. That's all, Mark. Number one.
All right, they are factual
bullet.
From an angle. It's you're not creating facts, but you're putting them into a certain stew that tastes a certain way.
And it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Pennsylvania man faces up to 4 years for illegally flying a drone over the AFC Championship game. Can we stop doing this? How many commercial breaks where everyone's confused for a second and the crowd starts booing and the announcers are trying to figure it out and then the ref finally comes on and goes, we are stopping the game for a official's timeout. And it's like, and you see some people looking up as they go to commercial. And it's like, some damn idiot just flew another drone over a stadium. Go to jail forever. Send a message.
Wow. That's aggressive.
I was going to go the other way.
Wait a minute. Pennsylvania man. So he flew it from Pennsylvania to Baltimore?
He was probably visiting.
Okay, I was just going to say, that's impressive.
It's an awesome drone.
It sold so many drones.
It's powered on nuclear energy.
Now that we know this, maybe fly it more.
4 years feels a little steep.
I think so, too.
Our country does imprison more than any country in the world by leaps and bounds. And I feel like 4 years for a drone is the reason why.
Hang them. That's what I say.
Oh, this is a good axe to grind, Dan.
Thank you.
You want to go 12 years at least for this guy.
Did you?
Dan hates drones and people that fly them.
Next 10 years.
Extra commercials. These games are long enough.
Next 10 years, we're going to be influencers, and Dan's going to become big on capital punishment. It's just going to be his thing.
I'm going to run for office. My main campaign will be about drones and how they need to be eliminated.
Oh, my God. Will you please do a campaign ad? Please.
I will, in fact. We got a lot of off-season episodes to get through. Drones may not fly within 3 miles of stadiums that seat at least 30,000 people during NFL games. So there you go. And relatedly, here's a headline from the New York Post that came out today. Content creator, that's us on some level, climbs Las Vegas Sphere in shocking scene to, quote, raise money for a homeless pregnant woman. This happened today.
Wait, what?
Yes. And a guy climbed the giant sphere where U2's playing, and I think Fish is there next, and the Grateful Dead and Friends, Mark.
How is he raising
that.
Money?
Okay, yeah, like, how does one and what is how does one that work? Connect here?
Crime. This is the crime beat. This is
I'm
the
saying, why? Where is the money coming from that he's raising?
Oh, see, that's a great question.
Well, wait, no, he could have been on, if he's an influencer, he could have been on one of the many platforms, and people are donating.
You could do it on TikTok or whatever.
That's the world that you guys are going into, the influencer world.
Mark is leading us there.
I no, but I'm more like, heart. How do you climb a circle?
That's the best question
These
of the day.
These news stories have deeper questions attached to them.
How about he's known as the pro-life Spider-Man? You know what? I'm going to bring him along on my campaign tour.
Yes, of course you are.
I got him. I got you, pro-life Spider-Man.
Dan is transforming before our eyes.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here we go. And that's it. That's what's happening in the news. Anything else to add that you've seen in and around the big game?
No, I mean, I just thought it was interesting that Andy Reid opening night was asked about foods that he likes and dislikes, and he said the only thing he dislikes is liver.
Never
Didn't
tried
see
it.
That coming.
I've never had it.
Oh, I love liver.
What?
Of course you do, in Greg.
How is it cooked? Like I said, to me well, it like sounds absurd.
Like a pate, certainly.
Like but, frog
I've had liver wished or liver worst.
Liver worst.
Chicken liver. No, it's tasty.
It's fine.
Wait, is it salty? What like, kind of, what is it, what would you, like
no, little, we're trying to get Mark back to me,
sharper,
we don't want to,
there's certain
this is
things
not
I'll
a texture.
Never
a little tangier, I would say, than regular.
Oh, that is not nice a selling point.
It's a texture issue, though,
Gross.
A little bit, right?
I think it's because my German grandfather was a liver guy, so it's just, like, baked into me.
Wilhelm Rosenthal! All
right, Heinz was his
Heinz
name.
Heinz Rosenthal! Don't do it, Greg, I know what you want to do. We're at
not
the Super
anything.
Bowl, Greg.
Yeah, let it, you know.
Just let it.
Everyone,
that's time and place.
You're doing it. I'm not. I'm
no,
just talking about amazing food memories
right
with livers.
I just Mark, really need you guys to behave
it.
Yourselves.
Time
here.
And place, Greg.
Yeah, this show is off the rails.
All right, we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to have one more conversation about the big game.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Before we go, this is where we show our bona fides as real football people. This segment is called X Factors Basic Bros and Lazy Ladies Aren't Even Thinking About.
Yeah.
You see how I did that?
What? You included women?
I included women. Because that's important.
You know what? It's equal representation. We're going after everyone. So there is no one that is safe in this segment.
It's also important, like, when you do mention women, that you ask for the credit of mentioning the women. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Part and parcel.
It is
exactly
extremely important that you understand that this industry of ours, populated by all types of people. I've done it again. So here we go. Let's get into it. So nothing
you're a mess.
Nothing basic, okay?
Nothing basic.
Nothing basic,
nothing lazy.
Lazy.
Mark, give us something deeper. What's an X factor for this game?
I love that Colleen mentioned Steve Wilks. I want to just go from a different angle a little bit. That, like, he called them out. Like, everywhere that Steve Wilks has been, like, win or lose on some of these teams, like, the thing I keep reading about him is, like, alpha male, like, his power and, like, absolute vitriol at times in the locker room and in certain speeches to players and in the way he plans, like, affects the players. And, like, there was, I think, tension between Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks this entire season. And, you know, he brought them down from the booth to the sideline, and I think that's made a difference. But then you go and get gashed for 182 yards on the ground by Detroit in a game that you barely won, and your defense would have been the reason you didn't. And it's like we saw that we've become so accustomed under, like, D'Amico Ryans and coordinators past where this defense played at a certain level. And Wilks came out of the woodwork this week very strongly and just said, nope, not acceptable. And, like, you can point at the coordinator, but a lot of the players came forward and said, in the NFC title game of all games, we did not put forth the right effort. And, like, that What's can all sound like locker room nonsense, but I do think that there is – I like the kind of that happened to them.
What was that?
I don't know. It's like a huge piece of metal just fell from the ceiling.
Are we safe? Go hunt.
I don't know. Dan just almost hit the deck.
I don't know.
What was that?
That was concerning. But tied into, like, the fact that they nearly gave their entire season away last week, like, I still have legitimate concerns about their defense. But, like, look at the players. Some of the better players on the defense were not playing up to who they are. So it's like, does that refocus help against Kansas City? And do you not let Kansas City, in the first half, make a statement and don't let Isaiah Pacheco and others come and rush for 100-plus yards on you?
Isn't that such a weird, because that's been floating around. You've heard that. Like, the effort wasn't where it was needed to be. Not the execution. Like, and maybe that's just a poor choice of wording, but if your effort is not all the way there in the NFC title game, what the hell is going on?
The plays. It was the touchdowns. It was the pursuit on the Jameson Williams touchdown and the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown. Something's rotten. This is something the lazy Laneys. Is that it?
Ladies.
Ladies.
Well, I was just making it, you know, specific to a specific woman. Oh, okay.
Like a Laney box.
But it was too close to ladies.
Yeah.
Lazy Lisa.
Lazy Lisa's.
Lazy Laura.
And boneheaded
now
berries.
Now we're getting into, like, weird territory.
Yeah,
again.
Now it's, like, focused on the women's failures.
I'm saying, and the boneheaded berries. What these people, like, aren't paying attention to, is connected to me. Is I think, like, we could see Clyde Edwards-Helaire have a big-time game. We could see some of the kind of designer runs to the outside that take advantage of what's been kind of a dumb defense. And I think that's what, like, I guess it's great that you're calling him out and saying the effort's not there, but something's rotten. Like, no one's kind of pointed out that this is a bad defense. Like, it's been a below average defense, and it's not like a small sample size. It's not the 2 weeks that mattered the most in the season, which are pretty important, and they've gotten pushed around, and, like, they're very lucky to still be playing. It's like the 6 weeks before that. It's the last three games that mattered. Baltimore handed it to him. I can say the Packers handed it to him. The Lions handed it to him. Most of the stops that they got are just because the Lions dropped the ball or made mistakes. Like, that is very concerning to me, and I think very specifically it's on the edges of their front, and it's even sometimes those linebackers who get a lot of pop for being over-aggressive. So it's guys they paid a lot of money to. It's Armstead. They brought in Chase Young. I think the Chiefs, they don't have to have a meeting and talk about getting their minds right and getting their effort right in a championship game, because they're championship material. And the 49ers defense, to me, has not been championship material for a while.
But when Steve Wilks gets that head coaching opportunity, everybody can sit down. No, I mean, you're exactly right, though.
Yeah, well, see, we've given now both sides of the story.
Well, you're right, though. If he, like,
we want a fair and balanced podcast.
You're right, though. If they have a great game, he's going to get a head coaching job. That's how that
works. No, he won't.
Not this year, but I mean, in the future.
Maybe.
He's respected. I'm not
putting
it all on him.
People will forget everything that happened in the last 6 to 8 to 10 weeks if they have a monster
game.
And
they have the players to do it. They have Bosa. They have Hargrave, the number one free agent. They have all these different all-pros.
Connie, how about you?
Okay, I am going with an offensive guard, because if we're talking X factor, I feel like the offensive linemen, they are always getting overlooked. It's not fair. And Nick Allegretti,
especially on the interior of that line.
Exactly.
You're right, Connie.
Exactly. And especially in the run game, because Joe Tooney's probably not going to play in this game.
Toppy.
Allegretti started last week. He's a really good run blocker. He has lots of experience as a starter for Kansas City in the past. This is a seventh round pick who's only started 13 games in his entire career, and now he's starting a Super Bowl.
Mm. And you know, listen, the only time we've ever seen Mahomes look mortal in the playoffs, really, was that Super Bowl against the Bucks when the line was all beat up and it was a turnstile. I was thinking how connected to your point and your point. I don't know if Chase Young has big-time football left in his body at this point, and this is such a huge game for him, Greggy. We've talked about the free agent. He's about to be a free agent, and he's probably not going to get a big contract regardless. But if you could come up with a couple sacks and do something and be a difference maker, and you got Bosa on the other side, they have, you would think, at least a name brand talent, the ability to F up Mahomes and cause havoc, but it just hasn't really happened.
And he's made a couple plays, and they I think they will run at him. You're right, with a little Allegretti pop. Both of these defenses, where they're vulnerable is to the ground game. So it's all this quarterback talk, and yet you could see a lot of rushing yards.
Greg, what's your...
That was mine. I just seamlessly...
Wonderful.
We almost partnered.
I just felt wonderful. It was so connected.
And you guys did it so well. It felt seamless. It was like Mike and the Mad Dog 1995 level chemistry.
Proud territory.
What about a little Jake Moody, too?
Ooh, yeah. It's a little X Factor. You just got two in, and that's unfair.
Wait, why would you do that? Why would you do that to me?
It was a bonus. Was that yours?
Was it really yours?
Well,
yeah, Alice.
Well, tell us why
I didn't even go yet.
Tell us why I did.
Speaking of Mad Dog, Chris Russo. Now everybody needs to get Russo on their show. We have always been the true Russo fans, our podcast. Yes or no, Greg?
We were first to that corner.
Always.
First on the scene.
And Mad Dog's going to be on our show on Thursday. Just one of many great guests coming up.
I think before he had a later career, like explosion almost.
This third act of greatness,
He was in a different stage in life. He talked to us about that. Like, we courted him annually on this show and I think brought the proper respect and understanding and context of who Mad Dog is.
He's coming up on Thursday. We're going to let him know that because we love that man.
What a moment.
Now let's go to the Kickers Club.
Okay.
But nice setup.
Yeah. That's what I'm here to do.
Now, nobody ever talks about this stuff because, who cares about kickers? As if these guys aren't, in many cases, deciding the games. And Jake Moody versus Harrison Butker is an obvious mismatch here. On paper, in terms of experience, in terms of what we've been seeing from each of these guys in recent weeks.
Handsomeness, hair.
I'm not going to go there. That's
let me Google real quick to check.
I haven't.
Let us know, Colleen.
Yes, let us know if Greg's right.
He's got great hair.
Is one an uggo? Is that what you're saying?
No, I could be totally wrong. I can't even. I just think Butker has great hair, so he's got to outshine Moody.
Anyway, Butker, I haven't been tracking this closely. I haven't really seen it, but he's been locked in. He's made his last 15 kicks, field goal kicks. He's been perfect on PATs. How are we looking with Moody?
Now I'm just on an image search for his hair.
Moody's fine. Moody's fine. In terms of what we've seen from each of the guys in recent weeks, Butker has made, he's been automatic. Of course, he made the game winner, Connie, last year against the Eagles. It was a chip shot, but still, with the Super Bowl on the line, big deal. Moody, you hear the whispers and the way he was spoken about on the telecast that you wonder if there's been some concerns about if he's cut out for the stage. He missed a field goal in each playoff game leading to this. He missed a PAT in week 18. He's never kicked in the stadium. Yeah, that's a little...
That matters.
Feels like the stadium, though, it's like a nice controlled environment.
Butker's done it many times or multiple times at
that's
this
true.
Point. But I will say this for Moody, although Butker is the guy I trust way more to make a big kick on Sunday. Like the quarterback, I think Moody did show something in the NFC title game because he could have spun out after missing that early kick. And instead, he locked in and he was piping it, made everything after that. So does that carry over to the new biggest game in his life? He's obviously has a high pedigree, came in as a hotshot draft pick.
I think he got drafted so highly specifically because he hit so many big-time kicks in the biggest Michigan games, like in the college football playoffs. Like he has a, it has an all-time kick. So maybe that those big game memories.
Help. So that is something to keep an eye on and how the kickers impact the game, because I have no concerns about Butker. He's shown that he is nails. He's, to me, a top three kicker in the league, and he has been for several years now. Another element of the Chiefs, by the way, like they're so balanced. They got, it's not just Mahomes. They've really built out, credit to that organization in all the phases. Mm. All right, there we go. So that's the first show of Super Bowl week here from Radio Row. Again, we'll be back on Thursday.
We have a lot of guests coming in the next 2 days.
Coming up. And then back on Friday with our last show. More guests, more fun. Mm. And then we have a couple days where we have a good time.
Yeah.
Ed Wolf's in town.
He sure is.
Ed Wolf's a
Mary
good time.
Wolf's about to be in town.
Mary Wolf's
Ed Wolf is already
in.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned he went to your airplane experience.
He was at the base.
Greg and I both spoke to him before we started today. Proud papa.
Yes.
The man has much flight experience himself, but it never went 9 Gs.
Mm-mm.
Like his little girl.
Oh.
Hey.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So cool.
Pretty cool. So anyway, and then on Sunday night, of course, we will have full coverage of Super Bowl 58. So that's it. Hit the music. There. And there's that Sam Spence music, Championship Chase. That's what it's all about, Greggy.
There can only be one.
It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you to Eric right there, who did perfect work today. Until Thursday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.